Good morning. I'm very much drawn to this man in the gospel reading this morning. And oftentimes this gospel reading is referred to as the story of the rich man. I don't like when I'm told ahead of time what the story is about, because it's difficult to really hear it. It's like, this is what it's about, now go read it. Okay, and then that influences the way you see it. But I want to offer perhaps another take on this man in the gospel reading today. So I think there's something about him that we can connect to and maybe have a different response. This is a good man, I think. He's not a saint, but he's a good person. He comes to Jesus. He's a man of faith. And he's basically saying to Jesus, the question asked is, you know, what must I do to inherit eternal life? It's almost what he's saying is, you know, I'm looking for something deeper. I'm looking for more meaning. I'm looking to know God more in my life. What do I have to do? And notice what Jesus says to him, you know, it's basically the commandments, you know. Don't steal, don't commit adultery. Throws in there, don't defraud. It's interesting, that's not one of the commandments, but he kind of throws that in there as if he senses this. Perhaps this man has been a little guilty of some of these things too, of defrauding people. But he adds those in, and he says, those are the things. And the man says, but I've done all that. I've done all that. You know, what more can I do? And notice the response. Jesus doesn't say to him, okay, you did those things, well, here's more things to do. But rather, what he says to him is, In words to this effect, then let go. Let go, in this gospel reading, is let go of his possessions. Now, some folks may say, well, this is a great stewardship homily. You know, talk about people giving away. But I think I think this has a depth to it that we can miss. I think this man identifies with this persona that he has developed. He identifies with the things that he has done. And in many ways, Jesus is saying, let go of that. Can you let go of that? And see yourself as God sees you. How do you inherit eternal life? By seeing yourself as God sees you, as God experiences you. Can you do that? And the gospel reading says the man walks away. He walks away. He can't. He can't let go of those things. Let's reflect on that a little bit this morning. Is there something in that man that we have in common? In our world today, are there parts of us that we so identify with the activity of our lives? Identify with what we do in our lives. The man says to Jesus, what more do I need to do? What do I need to do? What do I need to do? And Jesus isn't telling him to do anything. But he's telling him to let go of some things. Now you may say, well, that's doing as well. Not so sure of that. But letting go of that sort of persona that's been put together. Not that that's a bad persona, not that there's something evil about that, but are you really tending to yourself? I look in our lives today and the activity of our lives, so much we're taken with. So much in our lives, whether it's with children, you know, folks have 2-3 children at home. You get up in the morning and they got to get to the bus that leaves before the sun is even up. And then people heading off to work, and then people getting back from work, sometimes staying late in the morning before going to work, check the email so I'm ready when I get there for, you know, whatever it is I have to do. It can be so frenetic in our lives, you know. And how can we step away from that activity? How can we experience ourselves? I want to share with you a quote. I've been rereading some Thomas Merton. You know, I quote Richard Rohr a lot in homilies, but Thomas Merton was a spiritual writer in the 20th century, mostly wrote in the 50s, 1950s and 60s, who, in my life, is the most significant spiritual writer influence on me, even more than Richard Rohr. I came to understand, to meet, not me personally, but to read Thomas Merton for the first time when I was in college, and I've been rereading Merton lately, and it's interesting how I'm hearing it in such new ways. You know, you read somebody, I won't say how many years ago, But you reread it because you bring a different experience, different perspective to things. And I want to share with you a quote that struck me. It doesn't have to strike you, but I want to offer it to you because it struck me. And I think we share a common life here in our world and in our community, the frenetic pace of things in our lives. Here's what Thomas Merton writes, and I'm going to read this twice. Thomas Merton wrote in the 1950s and 60s most of his writings, and he wrote in that context, so he uses male pronouns in referring to things. And so I'm going to read it the way he wrote it, and then I want to read it a second time and use feminine pronouns so we can all hear this in a similar kind of way. I'm going to read this slowly, but here's what Thomas Merton wrote. Some of us, need to discover that we will not begin to live life more fully until we have the courage. We will not begin to live more fully until we have the courage to do and see and taste and experience much less than usual. The courage to do and see and taste and experience much less than usual. And for a man who has let himself be drawn completely out of himself by his activity, nothing is more difficult than to sit still and rest, doing nothing at all. The very act of resting is the hardest and most courageous act he can perform. Let me read that one more time. Some of us need to discover that we will not begin to live more fully until we have the courage to do and see and taste and experience much less than usual. And for a woman who has let herself be drawn completely out of herself by her activity, nothing is more difficult than to sit still and rest, doing nothing at all. The very act of resting is the hardest and most courageous act she can perform. Do you hear that? That sense that our lives can be about so many things. And you know, church life can be guilty of this too. Wanting to do more and do more and do more and do more. And we begin to just doing. And they're all good things. Raising our families, our careers, our friendships, our relationships, our children, our parents. You know, those of us who are in that sandwich generation. Caring. They're all good things. But it's not wrong to let go of that a little bit and find time to sit and rest. How many of you are good at that? Because you may say, well, okay, George, that sounds nice. You know, Thomas Merton was a monk living in a monastery. And how do we live this in our lives? And I don't have the answer for everybody, but I want to share with you just a little bit of how I've tried to meet this challenge in my own life over the years. I've heard from spiritual directors I've had over the years and ever since I was in college, and they've always said, George, if you're going to enter into this spiritual journey seriously, you got to do it first thing in the morning. You got to find time in the morning. Of course, when I was in college, that's the last thing I wanted to hear because I wanted to just sleep in all the time. But the idea of the morning, and over my life, I've come to realize that there's a truthfulness in that. And here's how I've tried to meet this challenge in my life for many years now. Even when my two girls were in elementary school and high school, I try to make the morning that time where I try to rest. And they sound strange. You've slept all night and now you want to rest. Not rest in the terms of sleeping, but sitting still. And I would always be the first person up in the house, put the coffee on, and just going out to the driveway to get the newspaper for me became a spiritual exercise. Opening the door and feeling the air, experiencing the new day. You know what I'm saying? To be present to it. And to come in and read the paper as a spiritual exercise, hearing the pain, the struggles going on in our country, in our world, in our community, in our state, and to take that in. Just spend some quiet time. I'm somebody, in the mornings, I'm always trying to read. This past week, we were on a clergy conference, and all together with Bishop Curry for the last time. And Bishop Curry gave some great thoughts to us as he was departing as our bishop. There's a special relationship any clergy has with their bishop. It's just hard to explain that. But he reminded us that we are, as priests, we are rabbis. We are teachers. And it's important for us to be studying and reading and being a source of that teaching in the community. Bishop Curry, who many of you know of, certainly is someone who's very active in his ministry. Interestingly, he shared with us that he takes Thursday as his day to rest, as his day to find that time, as his day to read and study, of course, prepare talks and presentations. They may say that's work, but that comes out of the sense of who he is. He carves that into a schedule. We have different ways of doing it. For me, it's in the mornings, trying to find this time so that when I, before I begin my day, as I leave the house to come here and be the rector, and be the priest, I've spent some time with George before that day takes off. Because it's there where we can truly meet the Christ that sensitizes, makes us able to meet the Christ in all that we do do. That gives me the ability to see Christ in my ministry and in my life, in my family, and those I care for and love, and even in those who challenge me sometimes. So I invite you to consider one way of understanding this gospel reading this morning is to not walk away grieving as that man who couldn't do that. He couldn't hear the call of Jesus to let go of some of those things, even some of that for a while, to know who God is in his life. He wasn't doing evil things or bad things. None of what I've described are bad things or evil things. That's not the point. The point is we can so identify with the doing, so identify with the frenetic lives that we live. Sometimes we too can ask, where is a deeper meaning? Where is God in my life? How can I enter into that relationship? Jesus invites us to that rest, as Thomas Merton says. It takes courage. It takes a focus. It takes attention to it. And if we want to be good stewards of our lives, we need to spend time to listen and to hear how God is calling George, how God's calling each of you in your life to be who you are. And from that place, go forth in ministry, caring for those we live with, caring for those we love, and being transformed ourselves. So I share some of those kind of random thoughts with you this morning as we gather together. I couldn't resist that gospel reading, speaking in that way, and having read Thomas Merton this past week, those two colliding, and they both spoke to me. So I share that with you this morning.